जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारे। यशोद नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोद नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोद नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुन तीरवन चारी यमुन तीरवन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। जय राधा वृंदावन बिहारी राधा वृंदावन बिहारी राधे। जय प्रभुपद 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 जय प्रभुपद। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरण अरविंद भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद की। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर प्रभुपाद की। नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की। प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की। ब्रजभूमि श्री वृंदावन धाम की। पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की। गंगमयी की जय यमुनामयी की जय भक्ति देवी की जय तुलसी देवी की जय। कलियुग पावन हरिनाम संकीर्तन की जय। हरे कृष्ण महामंत्र की जय। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांग। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
हरे कृष्ण। सो वी आर वेरी वेरी ऑनर्ड एंड प्रिविलेज टू हैव द भागवतम क्लास बाय हिज ग्रेस गौरांग दर्शन प्रभु। आई लाइक टू गिव हिज ब्रीफ इंट्रोडक्शन। Many of you may have already been benefiting from his wonderful works for the pleasure of the Vaishnavas. So he did his masters from IISc Bangalore. Actually, we have many wonderful devotees in that batch, and they all joined the ashram and are doing wonderful services for the temple. And he did 2 years of job in Force Motors and TCS Innovation Lab. He even wrote 10 papers, technical papers, and filed one patent also. In 2009, he joined ISKCON in Chopati. He got trained there. He also got initiated by His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. In 2010, he came to GEV with a big team of devotees at in 2012, seeing his wonderful skills in Shastric studies and many other skills, the Bhakti Vedanta Vidyapitam, which we see here, Paji, would you like to? So Bhakti Vedanta Vidyapitam was launched. His Gaurang Prabhu was very, very touched by his deep study of the scriptures and also his character and his talent to bring out nice courses. So he has designed this whole syllabus, which we see as the Bhakti Vedanta Vidyapitam Bhakti Vaibhav course, which is he is now the dean for Bhakti Vedanta Vidyapit Research Center at GV. He's also the member of the ISKCON Board of Education, and he's a member of the GV Admin Council. He also oversees the deity worship and the Vrindavan forest, and he has written many, many wonderful books for the Bhagavatam. You must have seen Bhagavat Subodhini. So there are so many books. He has written over 20 books, Bhagavat Pravaha, Bhagavat Vivek, and Disapproved but Not Disowned. And then he has written even for children, illustrated Bhagavatam tales. Bhagavat Pradipaka is a magazine, and he also writes articles for the BTG. And with all these wonderful offerings that he is doing for Srila Prabhupada's pleasure and Vaishnava's pleasure, apart from that, he is very, very loving and genuinely servant Vaishnava. Actually, when you can spend anything you need to, like, ask him, he's always available. He stretches himself to go to different temples also to give. We had a very, very wonderful time with him in Pune also. He came to give the Bhaktivedanta Vidyapitam course. So he's a very genuine Vaishnava to associate with. And yesterday, his guest Radhishampu was also sharing how he was very touched by his exemplary character as a Vaishnava. So we are very blessed to have him.
Actually, His Grace Gauranga Darshan Prabhu stands for pure presentation, absolutely unadulterated, like 24 karat gold. You will not find him diverting his presentation to anything other than Shastra or Prabhupada. Whatever he quotes, whatever he speaks will be purely presented. That's one observation we all made, and in all his videos you will see also. Another thing that all youth preachers can learn from him is a very high degree of empowerment he offers to the students. When students come to study here for the Bhakti Vaibhava and Bhakti Vedanta and all that, he is very good assignment giver, and he gives tasks, especially literary tasks, like studying the scriptures and extracting analogies, you know, making PowerPoints, you know, and also writing articles, preparing magazines, and also those who are talented in computer. People can be 1,000 miles away and he can engage them very nicely. So if anybody wants to know how he engages, you can meet him personally and ask him whatever. Actually, he was a student in IISc Bangalore. See, the IISc Bangalore students are very known for the doctorate presentations, which is internationally acclaimed in IISc Bangalore. But that doctorate talent is now using in Krishna consciousness fully. And expanding Krishna consciousness all over the world, which is the most wonderful thing. Because we never had such Subodhini guides, which the world is enjoying now, until he prepared them in a series, one after another, brought out. I think we're all waiting for 10th canto and 11th and 12th to come. Correct, no, Prabhu? Still coming in future, yes. This is Gauranga Darshan Prabhu ki.
Thank you. Very grateful to be amongst all of you. And forever grateful to Radhesham Prabhu's affection and love and blessings that I have been receiving for several years. And the sweet memories of Prabhuji's association in GEV for a couple of years when he came to Bhaktivedanta Vidyapit, and humbly sitting and hearing from people who are at least a couple of decades younger than him is really exemplary. And how exemplary he is, we saw in yesterday's class also, and it's an ongoing thing. He's a role model devotee for many devotees. And I'm also very inspired whenever I meet devotees trained by Prabhuji. So they also reflect his qualities, and it's very amazing, very inspiring to see so many wonderful sadhakas trained by Prabhuji. So with your permission and blessings, I'll speak a few words in glorification of Bhagavatam. Thank you. So for today's discussion, our Prabhu told me to speak from the third and fourth shlokas of the 20th chapter of the fourth canto of Bhagavatam. So third shloka I'll just recite, read the translation, and fourth shloka is written in the board. Third shloka: O king, one who is advanced in intelligence and eager to perform welfare activities for others is considered best among human beings. An advanced human being is never malicious to others. Those with advanced intelligence are always conscious that this material world is different from the soul. Material body is different from the soul. And Prabhupada also concludes the purport with a beautiful statement. One who is both devoted and highly advanced in intelligence does not take action against the soul or the body. If there is any discrepancy, he forgives. It is said that forgiveness is a quality of those who are advancing in spiritual knowledge. Fourth sloka: Purusha yadi muhyanti tvadrisha deva mayaya shrama eva param jato dirghaya vriddha sevaya. Purusha yadi muhyanti tvadrisha deva mayaya shrama eva param jato dirghaya vriddha sevaya. Purusha yadi muhyanti tvadrisha deva mayaya shrama eva param jato dirghaya vriddha sevaya. Purusha yadi muhyanti tvadrisha deva mayaya shrama eva param jato dirghaya vriddha sevaya. Purusha yadi muhyanti tvadrisha deva mayaya shrama eva param jato dirghaya vriddha sevaya. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace S.E. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. If a personality like you, who are so much advanced because of executing the instructions of the previous acharyas, is carried away by the influence of material energy, then all your advancement may be considered simply a waste of time. Purport. In this verse, the word vriddha sevaya is very significant. Vriddha means old, sevaya means by service. Perfect knowledge is acquired from the acharyas or liberated souls. No one can be perfect in knowledge without being trained by the parampara system. Prithu Maharaj was completely trained in that line, therefore he did not deserve to be considered an ordinary man. An ordinary man who has only a conception of bodily existence is always bewildered by the modes of material nature. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuranmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru, Shri Yutapadakamalam, Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsya, Shri Rupam Sagrajatam, Sahagana Raghunadhanvitam Tam Sajivam, Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Shri Radha Krishna Padan, Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsya, He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripriye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha
कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिन इति नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
हरे कृष्ण। वी आर इन द मिडिल ऑफ दिस वेरी पॉपुलर पास्ट टाइम ऑफ पृथु महाराज इन द फोर्थ कैंट ऑफ श्रीमद्भागवतम। पृथु महाराज has appeared from the dead body of his father Vena. So the appearance of Prithu Maharaj itself is very unique, and the activities are also quite unique. He started chasing Mother Earth, wanted to punish her or even kill her, but Mother Earth gave an explanation, and then Prithu Maharaj accepted Mother Earth as daughter, and later Mother Earth produced all the natural resources for all the citizens of Prithu Maharaj. So like that, Sukadeva Goswami, actually Maitreya Muni, was narrating this whole pastime of Prithu Maharaj to Vidura. And in the previous chapter, Maitreya Muni started narrating this special event, incident that happened between Prithu and Indra. Prithu began the performance of 100 Ashwamedha Yajnas. And so far, Indra had this record of being a Shatakratu. Shatakratu means one who performs 100 yajnas. So Prithu Maharaj already completed 99, and he was about to complete the 100th sacrifice also. So Indra could not tolerate it. Indra became extremely envious, intolerant, so insecure. So then Indra came in the disguise of a sannyasi, and he started stealing the sacrificial horse. Then you know what happened later. Prithu Maharaj's son Vijitashva came and retrieved the horse so that the yajna could begin. Then Indra again started stealing the horse. Again, Prithu Maharaj's son went and retrieved, and at one point, Prithu Maharaj got frustrated. Why is Indra repeatedly disturbing my sacrifice? Indra knows that sacrifice, yajna, is an activity done for the prosperity of citizens and for the pleasure of the Lord. Still, Indra was so bent upon obstructing this sacrifice. Ignorance is not the cause of every mistake that we do. Even in knowledge, we perform mistakes. Cigarette smoking is injurious to health. Everybody has this knowledge. But still, many smoke, many drink. So ignorance is not the cause of every mistake. The so-called material pleasure that one derives in a material activity acts as a driving force for the person to commit mistakes consciously. Even if the person fails to commit that mistakes, even if there are so many obstacles in performing that offense or sin, still one becomes so determined to commit that mistake because of the force of envy or lust within. So Indra knew, he had the knowledge that Prithu was a devotee, and his sacrifice is really great. He is doing it as a part of worship of the Lord and also causing prosperity for all the earthly beings. He should not be obstructing this sacrifice, but still Indra was so bent upon obstructing the sacrifice. So although he was unable to do, still he is repeatedly doing it. So when somebody attempts to do a mistake and somehow it didn't work, then they will learn a lesson. Okay, let me not do it. But although he was getting obstacles because of Vijitashva, repeatedly he is trying to do it. He was so rigid, or what to say, determined to obstruct. So stubborn. So Prithu Maharaj, he wanted to confront with Indra directly. Then the sages or the Brahmanas who were conducting the sacrifice, they said that, no, you should not be doing that. We will do it. So we will chant mantras to throw Indra into the sacrificial fire. That's a punishment for him. Then as they were about to chant the mantras, Brahma manifested there on the scene. And interestingly, Brahma says, he doesn't say, I'll give feedback to Indra, I'll stop him. He starts giving feedback to Prithu. Prithu, you stop the sacrifice. Why? Because if you stop the sacrifice, Indra will stop his activities. So Brahma did not choose to go to Indra to stop him, but he chose to go to Prithu, because Prithu is more mature. He can understand. Indra was very stubborn. So submissive people win more trust of authorities than stubborn people. Flexible people win the trust of seniors more than people who are too rigid about their own egoistic desires and propensities, plans. So Indra became very stubborn. So Brahma understood that even if I go and tell him, it doesn't make much difference. Better I stop Prithu Maharaj from conducting the sacrifice. Then the first thing that Brahma told Prithu Maharaj was that you are a devotee. You don't need to perform these sacrifices. It's not necessary for you to perform these sacrifices. Anyways, you are doing, of course, some exemplary kings, Rajarshis, although they are devotees, sometimes they perform sacrifice just to be in sync with the nature of this world, to set an example for common people to follow. Okay. So he was doing sacrifices, and even Yudhishthira Maharaj did, Bharat Maharaj did. So although apparently from one perspective they may look like some rituals or karmakandic sacrifices, devotees perform these sacrifices with a devotional consciousness. When Bharat was doing the sacrifices, when he was offering oblations to different devatas, he was actually meditating on the limbs of the Lord. So he was offering oblations to Surya Iswaha, Chandra Iswaha. He was meditating on the eyes of the Lord. Okay. So like that, although Rajarshis perform some sacrifices like this, still they are pure devotees, and they do those activities with a devotional consciousness. So Prithu Maharaj understood that I am performing this sacrifice for the pleasure of the Lord and for the prosperity of my citizens. Right? So by stopping the sacrifice, I will accomplish these two things more than by performing the sacrifice in this current context. So now stopping the sacrifice means stopping Indra's nefarious activities. Indra is coming in the form of a sannyasi, coming in the form of a religious man, spiritual personality, and stealing the horse. And when Vijitasva sees Indra in some saffron robes, Vijitasva wouldn't release arrows. Okay? And out of fear, Indra will release the horse and he will run away. And common people see this scene. And they understand that this is a very nice way to steal. Okay? If I wear saffron and steal, nobody will catch me. And even if they catch me, nobody will punish me or kill me. So it's a better way to steal and do all my sinful activities. So common people are getting new ideas. Right? So Indra is misguiding common people in this way. He is introducing newer and newer irreligious systems in the society. So to stop his determination to do this, basically Indra's intention was to stop the sacrifice to keep his record. I should be the only Shatakratu. I should be the only performer of 100 sacrifices. Prithu should not compete with me. So that is Indra's motive. But in trying to keep his record, Indra failed to exhibit this responsibility towards the society. Just to keep himself in a great position, or a person who holds all the world records or universe records, he is misguiding common people. He is not realizing that I am being attached to my position and I am being irresponsible towards the citizens. Okay. So Prithu Maharaj exhibited great responsibility towards the citizens. Prithu Maharaj By stopping the sacrifice, he exhibited responsibility towards the citizens. My citizens are getting misguided. Let me stop this sacrifice. That would mean Indra would stop his nefarious activities, and that would stop my people to get misguided. So he was being responsible towards the citizens, and he was also showing detachment. Prithu. While Indra was being so attached to his record as a Shatakratu, attached to his position as the king of heaven, Prithu Maharaj was not attached to this new record of 100 sacrifices, and he showed a great responsibility. So, detachment does not mean irresponsibility. And responsibility does not mean attachment. So, Rajarshis like Prithu Maharaj exhibit a wonderful balance or a combination, unique combination of both responsibility and detachment. Sometimes in the name of responsibility we become attached, and in the name of detachment we become irresponsible. But Prithu Maharaj was both detached and responsible. He is responsible for the citizens, and he is detached from his record of 100, performer of 100 sacrifices. I don't want this record. I don't want this attachment. In exhibiting this responsibility and detachment, he also revealed several of his wonderful qualities. So one quality that we see is his submissiveness to his superiors. When Brahma came and told him to stop the sacrifice, Prithu Maharaj did not protest. Why are you asking me to stop? You should have asked Indra to stop. Who did the mistake? So whoever has done the mistake should be given feedback. Whoever has not done the mistake should be accommodated, should be praised. But why are you asking me to stop the sacrifice? So Brahma stopped the sacrifice of Prithu Maharaj with a pure intention. One, to bring a transformation in Indra. Two, to establish the glory of Prithu Maharaj as a pure devotee and as a submissive devotee to his superiors. And also all the wonderful qualities of Prithu Maharaj, like responsibility, detachment, submissiveness, flexibility, adaptability to different circumstances, dependence on the will of the Lord. All these beautiful qualities of Prithu Maharaj have been very wonderfully demonstrated by Brahma's divine intervention there. So Brahma intervened to stop Prithu's sacrifice so that Prithu's glories are revealed to the whole world. Right? His position as a devotee is revealed. Just like Vamanadev asked for 3 steps of land from Bali Maharaj. And Bali Maharaj said, why 3 steps of land? I can give you a planet. Vamanadev said, if I am not satisfied with 3 steps of land, I will not be satisfied even if you give me 3 worlds. He gave a seminar on principles of satisfaction, and he did something exactly opposite to that. So in 2 steps he occupied the entire universe, and he said, I need the 3rd step also. Earlier he said, even if you give me 3 worlds, I will not be satisfied. Then now he said, he took 3 worlds and he was not satisfied. I want the 3rd step. Where should I put my 3rd step? It's not Vamanadev's greed to get more material opulence or charity from Bali Maharaj. It's Vamanadev's greed to reveal the glories of Bali Maharaj to the entire universe. Without this incident, how would we understand the glories of Bali? So Bali Maharaj exhibited great tolerance. Although Bali Maharaj was humiliated, embarrassed, defamed in one sense by Vamanadev, Bali Maharaj was very patient. So Vamanadev said, you don't have sufficient bank balance and you have given me a check. That check got bounced. Where will I go now? How will I encash this? So I need to put the 3rd step. Where should I put the 3rd step? And Vamanadev exactly knew Bali will offer his head. So let me glorify Bali Maharaj as a perfect example of Atmanivedana. That's the agenda of Vamanadev. Even though the Lord or some senior exalted devotees like Brahma, they may put some devotees in certain bewildering circumstances or unusual circumstances, that is ultimately intended to glorify them and reveal their tolerance, reveal their devotion, reveal their adaptability, reveal their detachment. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Mahaprakasha Leela he was kind of tempting so many devotees. What do you want? You want this kind of benediction? Take it. You want this benediction? Take it. All the devotees said, we don't want any benedictions from you. All we want is an opportunity to perform loving devotional service at your lotus feet, eternity, for the rest of eternity. So, unless the Lord tempts them with material benedictions, how will we get to understand that these devotees don't want any material benediction, all they want is pure devotional service only? Narasimhadev told Prahlad that you take any benediction you want from me. Then Prahlad said that, my dear Lord, I am not a businessman. I don't want to render service to you in exchange of some material boons. So, you are my eternal master and I am your unalloyed servant. Let that relationship between you and me be pure like this forever. So, let's not bring in any material boons into picture. So, the detachment of devotees, the devotion of devotees and the other Vaishnava qualities of devotees are so beautifully revealed in such circumstances. We may apparently see that, oh, great injustice has been done to Parikshit Maharaj, great injustice has been done to Pandavas, great injustice has been done to Prithu Maharaj and Bali Maharaj. So many wonderful devotees. They were all put into, subjected to some tribulations, subjected to some temptations. So they tolerated these temptations and tribulations and inspiring us to stick to the process of bhakti, right? So, and also revealing their glories to all of us. So this is the nature of a devotee. So devotee will not be deviated from their determination in devotional service despite so many temptations and tribulations and reversals and difficulties and tests. So they are rooted in the practice. So all these wonderful incidents in Bhagavatam are meant to understand, meant for us to understand the glories of devotees. Now one more quality that Prabhupada highlights in the previous purport was forgiveness of Prithu Maharaj. So here if you see in this book, Prithu Maharaj wholeheartedly forgave Indra. So when Brahma intervened and stopped Prithu Maharaj, don't do the sacrifice. Okay. So Brahma understood that Prithu stops the sacrifice, then Indra has no opportunity to steal. That will give him an opportunity to reflect on his activity and repent for his activity. And just soon after that, Lord Vishnu manifests on the scene along with our Indra and tells Prithu Maharaj, please forgive Indra. Prithu Maharaj said, you don't have to ask me, I have already forgiven him. Right? So devotees are those people who do not even take an offense. What is the point? Where is the question of forgiveness? So Prithu Maharaj just wholeheartedly forgave Indra. And he did not hold any negativity, grudge. Externally one may say, I have forgiven. But internally there may be some kind of ill feelings or grudge or negativity or envy or some bitter thoughts. But Prithu Maharaj wholeheartedly forgave Indra. Okay. Why? Because devotees have something more to get excited with. They are not so much into, you know, competing with other people, establishing one's own superiority and unable to tolerate when one's inferiority is being established in front of someone. How can I accept defeat? So that mentality is not there in devotees. They have something more exciting in life. Right? They have 18,000 verses of Bhagavatam to relish. Where is time for them to compete with Indra? My score 99, your score 100, I also need 100 score. How can you stop me at 2-digit score? Let me get into 3-digit score. Right? If Brahma had asked Prithu Maharaj to stop at the second sacrifice or fourth sacrifice or at least half century, 50. Okay, fine, round figure. He stopped in the 100th sacrifice. 99 are already complete. Few more moments you wait, 100 sacrifice also will be completed. At that moment, just put yourself in the shoes of Prithu Maharaj. Will you be able to say yes or no or protest or confront or say injustice, this is injustice? So this shows high degree of detachment from material accomplishments. Character is more important than accomplishments. While Indra was so attached to his accomplishment and his record as Shatakratu, Prithu Maharaj defeated Indra by not performing 100 sacrifices, because character is more important than accomplishment. He received the blessings of Brahma. he received the blessings of Vishnu and he received the darshan of Vishnu. By conducting sacrifice, one intends to please the Lord. But he pleased the Lord by stopping the sacrifice. So the purpose of sacrifice is accomplished. As I said some time back, the purpose of sacrifice is prosperity of citizens and pleasure of the Lord. Both are perfectly accomplished by Prithu Maharaj by stopping the sacrifice. Not sure if he had continued the sacrifice against the advice of Brahma, not sure if this could have been accomplished. So, these devotees value, what they value is something divine, something transcendental, something great. They don't value some material accomplishments. So oftentimes we get caught up in some petty issues and arguments and competitions. Yeah, we may have to deal with it. Like as long as we are living in the material world, there are some arguments, some confrontations, some discussions and decisions. So we have to deal with it. So while dealing with all of them, we should not forget our focus on the main goal. Okay, we should not forget to focus on what is more important, what is most important as spirit souls, as parts and parcels of Krishna, as somebody who has an eternal connection with Krishna, and all the activities of my life should be centered on establishing that connection with Krishna again, nicely. Reviving my love for the Lord. So that should be the focus. And one should do the needful in all one's interactions in the external world, but that should be the main focus. For example, we were recently discussing from Ramayana, Sundara Kanda, Hanuman Jayanti time. So Hanumanji, when he was jumping across Lanka ocean, he saw Surasa. Okay. Surasa said, Brahma has given me a benediction. Whoever comes in front of me should enter my mouth. You should enter my mouth. Hanumanji said, yeah, I will do that because Brahma told you I must do that, but not now. Let me go to Lanka, find Sita Devi, solace her and give this news to Lord Ramachandra and then I will come and enter your mouth. Don't worry. Surasa said, no, we have to do it now only. Then Hanumanji said, no, I have a service. Let me go ahead. Then Surasa opened her mouth much wider. Hanumanji said, okay, I will also expand my size. He expanded his body so big. And Surasa opened her mouth much wider, 10 yojanas, 20 yojanas, 30 yojanas, like that competition between the size of Surasa's mouth and Hanumanji's body was happening, up to 100 yojanas. Then Hanumanji understood, why am I getting caught up in this unnecessary competition with Surasa? My job is not to establish my superiority over Surasa or my ability to expand my size into such a huge form. My job is to serve Lord Ramachandra. If I get caught up in this competition, egoistic competition between myself and Surasa, I will miss the service. I will delay the service. Ram is lamenting there. Sita is lamenting there. I have a lot of service ahead. He immediately became so small. Entered deep within the mouth of Surasa and then immediately came out and said, Brahma's benediction is fulfilled. Okay? My dear mother, please allow me to go ahead. So he did not give in to this egoistic competition or argument. Are trying to establish his superiority over the other person. Okay. So this becomes an obstacle for one's devotional absorption and devotional service. So Hanumanji did not get into competition. Similarly, Prithu Maharaj also is not getting into any competition. Fine, no problem. Let Indra hold the record. Okay. At one moment, definitely, he immediately wanted to confront with Indra because Indra's action was completely inappropriate. But at that moment, a senior person intervened. Brahma intervened. So Prithu understood the gravity of the situation. Okay, fine. Let me just take a back seat. So understanding the gravity of the circumstance and taking a back seat by giving importance to a higher principle is not a defeat. Sticking onto one's own egoistic ambitions and troubling others just to establish one's glory, even if one is victorious in that attempt also, that's a defeat. But here Prithu Maharaj, ultimately what happened? Prithu's score is 99, Indra's score is 100. Okay. So from an external perspective, Prithu is defeated and Indra is glorious, right? If you just see the figures, 99, 100. But if you see the consciousness in attaining the figures, if you see the character that is demonstrated by Indra, definitely Indra is much greater. Indra is much, sorry, Prithu is much greater than Indra. So, Prithu understood character is more important than accomplishment. Okay. And despite doing all this, Prithu had no tinge of pride. That's what we need to notice there. Prithu Maharaj stopped. Okay, let me stop the sacrifice. This poor fellow Indra, he is so attached to his accomplishment, his record as 100, performer 100 sacrifices. Okay, fine. I take it, no problem. I am just giving you. So he did not do it with pride. He did it with humility in front of our Brahma. And when Prithu, when Indra came, Prithu did not taunt him. Prithu did not say, oh, you wanted 100 sacrifice, right? I am giving it to you. Take it. Take it. May you remain 100 sacrifice, the only performer of 100 sacrifices, right? Because I have given up my, I have sacrificed my ambition to perform 100 sacrifices, you remained as Satakratu. Otherwise, you have no possibility. I would have defeated you long back. He did not say all those dialogues. Because he's indifferent to this record. What is of more value? My subordination, my submissiveness to my superior Brahma and my attempt, my consciousness to please the Supreme Lord Vishnu. That is of more importance than me, than these records. Defeating Indra is not my job. Right? Outsmarting Indra or proving myself a better obedient servant than Indra is not my focus. Right? Even spiritually also he was not competing with Indra. Not only materially he was competing with Indra. He was not even competing with Indra in terms of showing that I am a better servant than you. Brahma trusts me more than you. Right? It's a fact. But Prithu did not say all that. Just like Ambarish Maharaj, he invited Durvasa Muni to dine in his house. But you know what has happened. And Durvasa Muni did Brahmanda Brahman. He went to Brahmaloka, he went to Shivaloka, he went to Vishnuloka, and he was chased by Sudarshan Chakra and then finally came and fell at the feet of Ambarish Maharaj. So Ambarish Maharaj felt so embarrassed, so awkward, so uncomfortable to have a Brahmana says like Durvasa Muni falling at his feet. So what did Ambarish Maharaj do? Oh, please don't do that. What's your problem? Sudarshan Chakra is chasing me. Then he told Sudarshan Chakra, please accept all our pious credits and spiritual credits in exchange of this life of this Brahmana. So Prithu Maharaj, Ambarish Maharaj was so forgiving. Actually, he did not take offense of Durvasa Muni at all. And he protected the life of Durvasa Muni even at the cost of exchanging all his pious credits. He prayed for the life of Durvasa Muni, who at one point attempted to kill Ambarish Maharaj. So there, Acharya is right. Ambarish Maharaj did not take any credit. He did not feel proud. I saved the life of Durvasa. I saved the life of Durvasa. If I have not prayed, then what would have happened to him? Okay. Even in saving others, even in serving others, even in showing kindness on others also, devotees do not take pride. By Sudarshan's mercy, by Lord Vishnu's mercy, Durvasa is protected. Okay. So, Ambarish did not take that credit. He did not take any credit for the pleasure of Durvasa. And what was overwhelming Ambarish Maharaj was not what Durvasa Muni did to him. Okay. Not what he did to Durvasa Muni in terms of saving him. What was overwhelming was Durvasa Muni wanted to eat in my house. I could not feed him. Okay, I could not feed him. 1 year he fasted. As Durvasa Muni was doing Brahmanda Brahman, he is doing fasting, Ambarish Maharaj. Okay, he was doing upas. Then after Durvasa Muni came back, he fed him sumptuously. And after that he ate and he satisfied. Okay, he is more conscious of the fact that I could not serve prasadam to Durvasa Muni than I could save Durvasa Muni. Right? He is not taking credit for the good thing that he has done to Durvasa Muni. But he was feeling embarrassed that I could not serve Durvasa Muni. So to this degree, Bhagavatam is demonstrating the Vaishnava qualities of devotees. Okay. So when someone has that inner fulfillment performing devotional services, including chanting, hearing and all this, one will not hanker for establishing one's greatness to the external eyes of people in this world, right? So the inner fulfillment and satisfaction is derived in devotional practices, spiritual practices of hearing Bhagavatam, chanting the holy names, taking darshan of the Lord, serving the deities, serving the Vaishnavas to the best of one's ability. So when we seek pleasure in that, when we derive satisfaction in those devotional activities, then these external petty issues and arguments, we can become oblivious to that. Tvad bhakta saritam patim chulukavad khadyotavad bhaskaram merum pashyati lostravat kimaparam bhume patim bhrityavat chintaratna chayam shilasakalavat kalpadrumam kashtavat samsaram trunarashivat kimaparam deham nijam bharavat tvad bhakta saritam patim chulukavat. Devotees who are so absorbed in the devotional service of the Lord, who are bent upon just rendering service to Krishna, they don't give so much importance to anything material or external. Tvad bhaktaha saritampatim chulukavat. Saritampati means great ocean. Sarita is river. Saritampati is ocean, right? So all the oceans are like droplets of water for a devotee. Tvad bhaktaha saritampatim chulukavat khadyota vad bhaskaram. Bhaskara, sun. He's like a khadyota, firefly. Okay. Merum pashyati loshtravat. The golden mountain Meru also looks like a small pebble for a devotee. He doesn't give so much of importance to that. I am giving you golden mountain, take it. It's as good as a stone for me. It's okay. I'm not excited with it. Merum pashyati loshtravat kibaparam bhumeh patim bhrityavat. Bhumeh pati means kings. The position of being a king is also not exciting. Bhumipati is bhritya only. Ultimately, everybody is bhritya of Krishna. Tvad bhritya bhritya paricharika bhritya bhritya tud bhrityasya bhritya itivam smara lokanatha. So our position is bhritya. Even if you give me the position of king, I am a bhritya of servant of Krishna only. So bhumiyah patim bhrityavat. Chintaratna chayam shilasakalavat kalpadrumam kashtavat. Chintaratna chayam shilasakalavat. You give chintaratna, chintamanis. Huh? Shilasakalava, they're all like stones for him. Normal stones. Not the Chintamani dham of Vrindavan. I'm telling a valuable gem if you give also, he's not excited with it. Right? Kalpadrumam kashtavat. You give kalpadruma, means a desire tree that can fulfill any desire that you have. He says, what will I do? I have only one desire, to serve Krishna. This Kalpadruma can give me 100 desires, can fulfill 100 desires. I don't have all those 100 desires. What will I do with this? Kalpadrumam kashtavad. Kashtavad means it's a piece of wood. Okay. Kalpadrumam kashtavad deham. Deham nijam bharavat. The body is a bhara. The material body, which is a source of all material pleasures to materialistic people, is a bhara. It's waste. He may maintain responsibly, but he's not very excited to enjoy anything on a material bodily plane, right? Deham nijam bharavat. So like that, devotees give more importance to spiritual practices and their own spiritual absorption in Krishna consciousness while doing the needful in an external plane, right? So in interactions with other people, in terms of services, and in terms of maintaining the body, self-preservation, etc., etc., they do the needful. But in the background, what's exciting them? Their spiritual connection with Krishna. Their excitement in the sound vibration. Their excitement in the chanting the holy names of the Lord. Right? So that's what excites them. So one who really intends to seek pleasure, or one who is actually seeking pleasure in this core spiritual activities, practices, will not get so overwhelmed by external things, right? So now Prithu Maharaj, when Lord Vishnu came in front of Prithu, what did he say?
Varan vibhotvad varadeshvara buddha katham vrinite guna vikriyatmanam yenarakanam apisanti dehinam tanishakai valyapate vrunenacha.
Oh Varadeshvara, you are the best of all the bestowers of benedictions. Varan vibhotvad varadeshvarad buddha
katham vrinite gunavikri atmanam. Why should I get excited with those material benedictions that are available to people who are living in hell also? Whether a living being is living in hell or heaven, as long as he is in the material world, there is misery. On a material plane, misery is misery, happiness is also misery. On a spiritual plane, happiness is happiness, misery is also happiness. Right? So devotees experience the pleasure of even separation from Krishna. So, you know, all the gopis of Vrindavan and all the Vrajavasis, they experience separation from Krishna and they experience a lot of pain of separation from Krishna, and that pain is also spiritual pleasure. That is vipralambharasa. Okay. So they are not excited. Vrithumara says that, I don't want anything. All I want is opportunity to hear Krishna Katha. I don't want even liberation. He says, in this chapter only, somewhere later, he says, Nakama yena tatadapyaham kvachin nayatra yushmacharanam bujasavaham mahattamantar hridayan mukhachito vidhatsvakarana yutameshamevaraham. Varan, he says that nakama ye natha tadapyaham kochin. I don't want any benedictions like liberation or heaven, etc., etc. Because na yatra yushma charanambu jasavaha. There is no flavor of the service to your lotus feet there. Okay, so I'm bent upon serving you, not getting into Brahmajyoti or even Swargaloka. Right? So that's why he says in the next shloka, Sa uttama shloka mahan mukhachyuto vidhatsva karana yutamesha mevara smritim punar vismrita tattva vartmanam kuyoginam no vitaratya lamvaraihi. Sa uttama shloka mahan mukhachyuto. When great devotees are glorifying Krishna, saffron dust particles from the lotus feet of Krishna that they are carrying within their hearts, they will emanate from their mouths. And when those dust particles, basically those sound vibrations, when they enter into the ear holes of a devotee, they will remember that I have an eternal relationship with Krishna and this is my focus. Everything else is yahobahya. Right? So this is my focus. My focus is that relationship with Krishna. Smritim punar vismrita tattva vartmanam. So the conditioned souls in this material world are vismrita tattva vartmanam. Tattva. What is the jiva tattva? Jivera swarupahai krishnaira nitya das. That is the tattva. We are all servants of Krishna. But vismrita tattva vartmanam means we are wandering in this material world by forgetting our original tattva. Jiva tattva. Smritim punar. We can remember it again by hearing from devotees. That's why Prithu Maharaj is not at all in a mood to fight for justice. Brahma told me to stop the sacrifice, Vishnu, at least you give some justice. Brahma is telling me to stop the sacrifice. Indra did the mistake, he is not negotiating with him. He said, I just want opportunity to hear Krishna Katha in the association of your devotees, give me that. Okay. He is not saying, I want another opportunity to do this 100th sacrifice. Brahma stopped me, Vishnu, at least you encourage me. He is not doing that. So what excites a devotee is something great, something valuable. So as practicing devotees, we should cultivate that excitement. So many things excite us. New mobile can excite us. New laptop can excite us. Okay. New building can excite us. Yes, these are all sources of excitement, but temporary excitement. What should permanently excite us is chanting the holy names of Krishna and reading Srimad Bhagavatam and doing our core spiritual practices and services. So Prithu Maharaj is showing real excitement of spiritual absorption than material accomplishment. So in this, while doing this, he demonstrated so many aspects of Vaishnava character, okay, that guide all the sadhakas. So Krishna has so many beautiful qualities. He is beautiful physically. So more than his physical beauty, or equal to his physical beauty, is the beauty of his heart. So physical beauty, there are hundreds and hundreds of verses that glorify Krishna's spiritual beauty. And there are verses that glorify Krishna's beauty of heart also. And devotees are those people who imbibe those aspects of Krishna's character. Krishna is forgiving. Let me also cultivate this quality of forgiveness. Krishna is compassionate. Let me also cultivate this quality of forgiveness. So that's the beauty of Krishna, and that's the beauty of Krishna's devotees.
You know, when Parvati cursed Chitraketu Maharaj, what did Lord Shiva say? Parvati, you are so beautiful. But the greatness of devotees of the Lord is greater than your beauty. The beauty of devotees is greater than your beauty. So, like that, so Krishna has a beautiful form and devotees take lot of excitement in relishing that beautiful form. And Krishna has beautiful qualities and devotees meditate on those beautiful qualities of compassion and whatever qualities are adaptable by devotees like compassion, forgiveness and all. So, devotees try to adopt that. So, Prithu Maharaj, as Prabhupada says in the previous purport, so forgiveness, let me open that. So, forgiveness is that quality, Prabhupada says. If there is any discrepancy, he forgives. It is said that forgiveness is a quality of those who are advancing in spiritual knowledge. So, what is the litmus test to test someone as sufficiently advanced in spiritual life? He's not caught up in external things. He has the ability to forgive. Kshamaya rochate lakshmi brahmi shauri yatha prabha kshaminamasu bhagavam stushyate haririshwaraha kshamaya rochate lakshmi. All the brahmanas and vaishnavas shine by demonstrating this quality of forgiveness. With absolutely no grudges, our Prithu Maharaj forgave Indra. So that brought a transformation in Indra. Before only he was transformed. So Indra was transformed. Prithu's glory is established. And people are prosperous. And the Lord Vishnu is pleased. Then everything has a happy ending. Okay. Instead of getting so much caught up in what happened to Prithu and what happened to Indra and all that. So we should see the happy ending of everybody is in a much higher and positive spirits at the end of the pastime. Right? So Prithu Maharaj exhibited this quality of compassion and forgiveness. So Krishna has this quality of compassion. Kamva dayalum sharanam vrajema. Who else is more merciful than Krishna? Who else is more compassionate than Krishna? And in the 11th canto, in one purport, Acharyas very beautifully say that just like Krishna is accommodative, Krishna is compassionate, Krishna is so forgiving, devotees also need to imbibe that mood, adopt that quality and try to demonstrate that quality in forgiving other people. Right? One may have to do the needful in correcting them when they deserve correction, when they do some mistakes. But at the same time, at heart, we should not hold any grudge or envy or negativity towards that person. We should be able to forgive that person. So Prithu Maharaj forgave Indra. So Lord Vishnu is extremely pleased with Prithu Maharaj. So it is said here that Lord Vishnu is not used to stand on the ground. Right? So, but out of his intense affection and love on Prithu Maharaj, Lord Vishnu wanted to stand on the ground, but he is unable to balance himself. He held this Garuda. Okay, he held this Garuda and happily standing there. And he wanted to move. After giving darshan, he will go, right? Generally, that's a general format in many episodes of Bhagavatam. But he did not want to go. He sat there. He stood there, seeing the affectionate tears of Prithu Maharaj. And they had very nice exchanges. Prithu Maharaj said, "My dear Lord, I want to hear from you. I want to hear from your devotees." And after that he said, "Actually, I want to render service to your lotus feet." Then the next shloka he says that if I start serving your lotus feet, Lakshmi Devi, who is already rendering service to your lotus feet, will come to a competition with me. Right? Here Prithu Maharaj is thinking of another spiritual transcendental competition. He completely forgot the material competition he had with Indra till now. There will be competition between Lakshmi and me. Then naturally, you are more affectionate towards your devotees than your wife. So you will take my side. But Acharya say, no, Prithu Maharaj is not intending to compete with Lakshmi Devi because she serves the lotus feet of Vishnu in her rasa. And Prithu serves the lotus feet of Vishnu in his rasa, Dasya rasa. So there is actually no competition. Right? And why competition? Krishna can manifest multiple forms to reciprocate with multiple devotees. Why for one pair of lotus feet, why two devotees have to fight? Krishna can expand himself into unlimited forms to reciprocate with unlimited devotees, innumerable devotees. So there is a lot of pleasure in having this kind of exchanges with the Lord. Prithu is more excited with that kind of exchanges with the Lord, not the competition with Indra. So to conclude, it's 9 o'clock now. So to conclude, So Prithu Maharaj demonstrated great Vaishnava qualities of detachment, forgiveness, responsibility towards citizens, submissiveness towards his superiors like Brahma. And one more important quality that Prithu demonstrated, I think we did not discuss, was his acceptance of the Lord's will, his dependence on the Lord's will. So Prabhupada writes brilliant purport in, I think, previous chapter, 19th chapter. Prithu Maharaj wanted to perform 100 sacrifices, but suddenly an obstacle came. Indra created obstacle. Then he wanted to confront. Then suddenly Brahma came. He said, no need to perform. So he understood, with all my efforts, I want to do this sacrifice, but something is stopping me. That means I should not do. So when situation is beyond our control, we should surrender to the situation. So Prithu Maharaj understood that Brahma is personally coming and stopping me, so I should be submissive and I should not pursue this anymore. Right? So Brahma's intervention revealed the glory of Prithu, as we discussed. But Prithu Maharaj also, from his perspective, he depended on the will of the Lord. But Indra could not do so. Indra was Shatakratru. He was having the record of 100 sacrifices. But when Prithu was excelling him, he was kind of superseding him or outsmarting him, and also at least reaching his record, Indra could not tolerate. So when one devotee is flourishing nicely, progressing nicely and doing great service and accomplishing things, other devotees should not feel insecure. So here Prithu Maharaj, when he was also performing sacrifices, Indra could not accept that will of the Lord, because the Lord has empowered Prithu to perform sacrifices. Isn't it? So when Prithu is doing it nicely, why should Indra feel insecure? So Indra exhibited envy towards Prithu. Prithu exhibited forgiveness. Prithu accepted the will of the Lord while stopping the sacrifice, but Indra could not accept the will of the Lord, who desired to empower Prithu Maharaj. Without the Lord's empowerment, will Prithu Maharaj will be able to come to this level of performing 100 sacrifices? So the Lord's sanction has to be there. So the Lord has given that power to Prithu, but Indra could not accept that power, that will of the Lord. So he depended more on the will of the Lord, Prithu Maharaj, but Indra could not depend on the will of the Lord. So that dependence on the will of the Lord is another important aspect of Vaishnava character of Prithu Maharaj. And further, Prithu Maharaj continued to perform his devotional service. Eventually he got the darshan of our four Kumaras. He took teachings and eventually he went back to Godhead. So in this beautiful episode, we see Brahma's mature dealing. So when two people, just like two children, fight for something, for a toy or something like that, so parents will favor the younger child more than the older child, isn't it? Because older child is more mature to understand things. So such mature people will also be given the necessary understanding of the situation. Here Brahma understood that Prithu is more mature than Indra. So Brahma chose to deal with this incident from Prithu's perspective than Indra's perspective, and brought a transformation in Indra also. Okay, so Indra came and begged forgiveness from Prithu Maharaj. So when there is a conflict between two people, the senior person will not give a verdict in such a way that one person is rejected and one person is kept. He will also try to retain both people as long as he sees the potential that in the other person also for transformation. Right? So when reformation is possible, rejection should not be an option. So Indra's character was reformed. And this is very wonderfully, personally orchestrated by Brahma and Vishnu nicely, and Prithu very nicely cooperated with it. So the Lord may use his devotees or engage his devotees in various ways to give a message to common people. So the Lord used Brahma, Bhishma, to give another important message to common people. So if you say, take the side of Adharma, although you are as great as Bhishma, you will have to be defeated. The Lord wanted to give this message to common people. And Bhishma cooperated with it. So what we need to understand is,
we should not just get overwhelmed by the external, surficial circumstance there. We should go a little one step deeper, honestly contemplate and reflect deeply on that situation and understand the intentions of the Lord behind arranging this kind of circumstances in the lives of devotees. So ultimately at the end, devotees' hearts are nourished by that service of the Lord only. That malleability will only nourish them, will establish their glory, than deprive them of glory. So, snigdheshu pandushu jagat pranatim cha vishnor bhaktim karotin rapatis charana aravindi. The malleability of the Pandavas to the will of Krishna is glorified. Although they are on roads, they are in forest, not even on roads. They are in the forest for 13 years and they had to fight a lot. Their house was set on fire. So many difficulties they underwent, but ultimately their glory is established. So that is of Krishna's pleasure is of greater value for a devotee than externally getting caught up in accomplishing things. As yesterday also His Grace Radhesham Prabhu was saying, when Guru is pleased, Krishna is pleased, we can conquer the world. Vritrasura also very wonderfully demonstrated this beautiful thing in his life. So Vritrasura was abandoned by all the demons. All the demons left the battle. Vritrasura said, hey, where are you going? You will anyways not do yoga and reach the Lord. At least you die on the battlefield and reach higher destinations. So why are you running away from the battlefield? All the demons left him. All the demigods are, devatas are against him. All the sages are praying for his death. And the sages were encouraging Indra also. Kill him, kill him, kill him. Right? But Vritrasura, nobody is on his side. But Vritrasura, in the heart of his heart, he understood. He understood that my Guru is pleased with me, Narada Muni. My Lord is pleased with me, Sankarsana is pleased with me. So I have to responsibly perform this fight. And the only mission of my life is to be killed by the thunderbolt in the hand of Indra. So he understood that. He did not get overwhelmed. The Lord has made a plan to kill me. Does he love me? Okay. Dadhiji, just before Ritrasar, Dadhiji was there. Dadhiji also was killed by the devatas. In the sense that the Lord told the devatas, go and take the bones of Dadhiji. Unless Dadhiji dies, how will they take the bones? The Lord has a made plan to kill Dadhiji and Vritrasura. The Lord has personally given that plan to devatas. So Dadhiji and Vritrasura, both of them did not get overwhelmed. How can the Lord do this injustice to me? He loves devatas more than me. If the Lord wants me to do this service, let me do it. Okay. Earlier Dadhiji said, even if Vishnu asks for my body, I will not give. That is just to test the devatas, just to have some joke, fun with them. But he said, this is the best opportunity for me to win the mercy of the Lord. He wanted my bones. If I offer my bones, I get his mercy. It's an opportunity for me to serve him by assisting the devatas. If this is the service that the Lord has given, why should I protest? So Dadhiji had no protest. Vritrasura had no protest. They did not misunderstand Lord Vishnu. So they were happy internally. So when we try to derive that happiness on an internal plane, in our own devotional absorption in Krishna, in our chanting, in our hearing and all, the external things will not bother us so much. We need to do the needful responsibly in dealing with all those things externally. Just like Prithu Maharaj, in showing his submissiveness and devotion to Brahma and Vishnu, he also protected the citizens. So externally we need to do the needful, but internally that's what excites the devotees. Thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Hare Krishna. So I'm sure all devotees are mesmerized and very deeply touched by his wonderful lessons on this beautiful pastime of Prithu Maharaj. Let's thank His Grace Gauranga Darshan Prabhu by loudly chanting, Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol! So the next session is by His Holiness Loknath Swami Maharaj. He's coming online at 10:30 sharp. So we request all the Vaishnavas to be there by 10:25 at Yoga Studio. Please, devotees can proceed for prasadam. Hare Krishna.